are you, Tim?
Hi, Tony. Good. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How's the boys doing?
Boys are fine. Boys are active. Boys are busy. One's graduating in May. One graduated last May, and one's got 2 years to go and is going to Ireland next year to study abroad for 4 months. So they're all busy.
And knowing you, I know that you're hoping that they find jobs.
Well, one has, and one's getting one, I guess. And the third one, I don't know where it is. We're just trying to get him through his sophomore year. But they're all doing fine, and they're well, and I'll tell them you asked about them.
I always like talking with Tim because even though he is the sports authority, if you will, here in mid-Michigan, if you know him, you know he likes to talk news and politics and the market. And Tim, I don't know if you recall, but you introduced me to Jack Shingleton many years ago when I was working at WILX-TV, and I'm not sure if I knew a guy who really bled green, but if anyone did, it was him. He just loved Michigan State University.
He did. He passed away last week. The memorial service for him, perfectly enough, is at 1 o'clock today at the MSU Alumni Chapel, and you know, he's from a different generation. There are probably a lot of young people who benefited from him in many ways today that don't even know about who he was, simply because, again, he was 89 years old last week. But when he was in his prime, of course, and working at Michigan State over the 38-year run that he had there, he was a wonderful guy in a lot of different areas of the university, from chairman of the Board of Trustees, where he served for 8 years, to the many years he served as the head of the Placement Bureau. And, of course, as you know, in the middle 70s, amidst all the NCAA turmoil, he was the interim athletic director. And I thought if he'd have wanted that job, he'd have been terrific at it. But he liked other areas of the university, and so they found Joe Kearney, and he moved on.
If you can, Tim, talk about the two or three biggest contributions he made as an administrator at Michigan State University.
Well, he gave tremendous leadership in a lot of different areas. As I wrote, you know, he was a very people-oriented person amid the complexities of being involved with a big-time university where there are politics and personalities and egos involved. But as the head of the Placement Bureau, you know, a lot of these kids coming out of Michigan State with educations, like you just asked about, now they got to find jobs. What are they going to do with it? And he was very instrumental in understanding that's a significant issue and that employers across America needed to become acquainted with Michigan State students. But what fascinated me most about him was when I saw him on TV one day on a WKAR television special about area veterans who had served in World War II, and he was recounting, and I didn't know he was a pilot, and he was a pilot in the Pacific Theater flying missions to get troops to different locations over and over and over again. And as you know, airplanes weren't then what they are today in terms of safety and all that, let alone having someone shooting at you. And Jack was such a humble guy, and it doesn't surprise me. The interview that we did with him was amazingly humble in the things that he achieved. But, you know, he came back, married his sweetheart. Well, he was married, I believe, at the time. He was married 56 years, raised a family here, loved his family, loved Michigan State. And I just think that he wanted to help Michigan State in any way that he could in a very humble manner. But he had great leadership skills. I often thought if he ever wanted to be president or the full-time athletic director, he'd have been great at it.
Tim, what's your assessment with the leadership now at Michigan State University with Luana Simon as well as Mark Hollis?
Well, I think it's a very complex job for both of them. I think the budget issues both of them have to deal with are enormous, and I think it's a cause of concern for both of them. There's no guarantees that all these bills are going to get paid down the road, either in athletics or in the university in general. I think they're both experienced at what they do. They understand the turf that they're on. I think they get along well with each other, which is an enormous factor. That's why I think today Michigan State is far more peaceful, because the people working in the key spots, they get along with each other very well. That doesn't solve all the problems, but I think it gives them an appreciation and an understanding of what they have to do every day. When one's successful, it helps the other one become successful. And I think because of all those factors, it gives them a far better chance than all the rancor and consternation they've had in years past when they've had presidents try to run the athletic program. But these issues today financially, as you know, when you read the headlines every day in the paper about education in Michigan and America, they're not going to go away anytime soon. And sooner or later, athletics is going to have to deal with it somehow as well, I believe.
Tim, was Rick Comley forced to retire as hockey coach at Michigan State University?
that they wanted to make a change. I think they know that the attendance there has been an issue. I think they just felt it was time for a move in a different direction. Rick, he's a personal friend. He'd been considering it. I don't know if he'd have got out this year, but I think he would have got out next year. And but he's, you know, he's a team player. He understood the issues around hockey that had changed over the years. It does not have the pizzazz over there with the public it once had for a variety of reasons, not of his own making. I believe that more than just a new hockey coach they will have to find to get that turned around. I think they think that'll spark. It'll be interesting to see what direction they're going to go with that. But I think you're going to see some other commitments to hockey besides just naming a coach. And I just think Rick knew that he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, unless they were going to be a monstrous winner this year, which they are not, of course.
Finally, Tim, I've got about a minute left. What do you expect from this Michigan State men's basketball team in this week's Big Ten tournament? They've got a game 5 o'clock on Thursday against Iowa.
Well, it's hard to predict because they're on a neutral court against a team they've played well and a team that beat them soundly in Iowa. I think it's going to be tough to determine the NCAA pairings until you see the large feds and how they're required. It helps them that they've got 68 in the field this year instead of 64. But if they don't beat Purdue in Game 2, providing they win Game 1, and that's no lock, but if they do win Game 1 and lose in Game 2, in my opinion, you can toss a coin on Sunday night because they still will not have had a quality win, perhaps, to satisfy the committee. And if that's the case, it could be very dicey getting them in.
Tim Stout, you can catch his sports reports on Fox 47 as well as WILX-TV, and that's Channel 10 here in the market. Thanks so much, Tim.
Okay, Tony, good to talk to you. Have a nice day.